Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It's wonderful to have all of you here with us today on this day which the Lord has made for us to enjoy and to worship Him. Welcome to all of you who are watching this at home or on our live stream as well. Today we are very blessed to also have our 3rd through 8th grade children's choir among us. And they'll be up there in the balcony singing and enhancing our worship with song today. Thank you to all of you parents who have gotten up early and brought your children here on time. We really appreciate that. Thank you to Mrs. Tracy Thiemann for being willing to direct them this morning. We appreciate you as well. Today our worship is going to follow Divine Service Setting 2, which in your hymnal begins on page 167. Please stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my
pleas for mercy. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother.
Like a weaned child
is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord.
From this time forth
and glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all. Let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, which this morning will be hymn number 811, Oh That I Had 1,000 Voices. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day, which is printed right below the intro. We pray together. O God, the helper of all who call on you, have mercy on us and give us eyes of faith to see your Son, that we may follow him on the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading, which is appointed for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning with verse 7. Thus says the Lord, "Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, 'O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel.' Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the sea, of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the pregnant woman and she who is in labor together. A great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with pleas for mercy I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading today is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7, beginning with verse 23. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is going to be number 551, but we're going to sing it to the tune of "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is going to be the gospel reading. We're continuing to make our way through the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 10. And in this passage, Jesus and his disciples have just left the city of Jericho, and they encounter a blind man, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus, and Jesus once again does what nobody around thinks that he should do or nobody expects him to do. He heals this seemingly insignificant man. And we give thanks that Jesus always does this, that he shows love to people who don't deserve it. And that includes you and me. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, recently I had a chance to redeem a Men's Warehouse gift card that I had received a long time ago with the intention that I would use it, that it should help me to purchase a couple new suits, which is something that I had been putting off for way too long and just never got around to it. See, fashion is just not one of those things that I care about at all. And so it's just one of those things that I feel like I've always got bigger fish to fry in life and ministry, and so I can always justify in my head why I'm not going to go and take care of making sure that I am dressed appropriately for all of the things that I've got to do as a pastor. But recently, this year, there have been a lot of events where it's been important for me to dress appropriately for the occasion. I just yesterday performed my 10th wedding of 2021. I still have two more to go on my calendar before this year is over. So it was time. And long story short, some of you know that my mother-in-law, Carol, has been visiting with us over the last few weeks. And so we've had this built-in babysitter, which has been really nice. And that, combined with the gift card, combined with our tax return, which finally came after months and months and months of waiting, finally took advantage of this opportunity for Katie and I to go and have a date. We went and had dinner, and then, of course, we went to Men's Warehouse, and I got fitted for my new suits. And everything was fine. Everything went great. They took care of everything, but they had to custom order some things. So they told me it was going to take a few weeks before I would be able to actually get my suits. No big deal. Last week, they called, and they said, "Your suits are ready to pick up." I said, great. So I got in the car, I went to Fairview Heights, I tried everything on, everything fit, but they had to shorten up the pants because you probably noticed the Lord has not blessed me with much height. So we had to take care of that. And that's when the guy says to me, "Because we have to shorten up the pants, you're not going to be able to pick these suits up until Monday, which is tomorrow." And at that point, I was a little bit disappointed and a little bit annoyed, too, because here I'm thinking I'm going to be going home with my new suits, and now not only am I empty-handed, but I've got to come up with another day, or I've got to carve out another couple of hours to drive all the way back there. So I did something that I normally never do, okay? And I probably shouldn't have done it, and I still feel a little bit guilty about it. You can be the judge of that. But I kind of used the pastor card, okay? But, okay, I wasn't thumping a Bible or, you know, like being obnoxious or anything like that. I didn't, like, whip out my collar and put it on. I didn't do any of that. Here's what I said, okay? I said, "Do you think that it would be okay if I just took the jackets home since those don't need any alterations?" And the guy looks at me and he says, "Well, why in the world would you want to take half of a suit home? Why don't you just take all of it home later?" And so that's when I said, "Well, you see, I'm a pastor and I've got this wedding to do on Saturday, and I don't know, maybe I could just wear the jacket and pair it with some random pair of pants I got at home. Remember, fashion's not my thing, right?" And that's when the guy looks at me and has pity on me, right? And he looks at the suit and he says, "All right, here's what we'll do. If you can wait just a little while, I'll go and give this to the tailor, and we'll make sure that one of these suits you can take home with you today." He didn't have to say that to me, right? There was no reason he should have. In fact, I don't know, but maybe the fact that he prioritized my order meant that somebody else's was delayed. I have no idea. All I know is that the men's warehouse guy saw my need, and he decided that he was going to take care of me, and I didn't deserve it. And so I had that really good customer service experience fresh in my mind, and I'm getting ready to preach on this gospel text from Mark chapter 10 about Jesus having mercy, having pity upon this poor blind beggar, Bartimaeus. And I was thinking about how, you know, an experience like that, which, not that the miracle is insignificant, the miracle is amazing, but the fact that he did it to such a seemingly insignificant person, and this seemingly insignificant event that took place for me in a clothing store, and whatever other kinds of similar events, little blessings and mercies that have happened to you in your life, maybe something's happened recently, and I'm amazed at how the Word of God takes those experiences and draws us in closer to Christ and helps us to focus on the even greater blessings and the even greater mercies that are granted to us that can only come from our Lord and Savior himself. And I'm talking about things like forgiveness of sins and righteousness and justification and sanctification and the power to protect us from sin and death and the devil and all of these really big things that come from the Lord, things that are way more significant than some of these other little things that we experience, and yet which come at an even greater cost to the one who has given it all to us. That's what I started thinking about. You look at this text, you've got a man who by his very nature as a blind beggar would have been used to having to rely upon other people's kindness in order for him to even live. He would have been constantly having to play the blind beggar card, if you will, if he wanted to have any hope of living. And it wasn't a guarantee that anybody was going to help him either, because in those days, the natural assumption of most people around would have been that this poor beggar, for one, and someone who has had a disability of blindness, for another thing, especially was somebody who probably was being punished by God because they were such a terrible person and deserved it. That's how most people thought. That this was, in some way, an evil person who was getting what they deserved, so why should I bother helping them? In a way, it's kind of related to the similar attitude that we saw from the disciples in last week's gospel, dealing with a completely different kind of person, dealing with a rich person, but the same idea, that obviously what I'm seeing on the outside is proof of how God feels about that person. Obviously, if someone is wealthy and rich, clearly God loves them more than everybody else. Clearly, they are automatically going to have a place in God's kingdom just because they have a lot of wealth, right? It's the same kind of thing, just on the opposite end of the spectrum. So the point being, this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, probably was used to being told that he didn't deserve anybody's mercy. He didn't deserve anybody's kindness. And you can actually see that coming out, that attitude, right here in the reading itself, right? Because as soon as Bartimaeus hears who it is that's passing by him on the road just outside Jericho, as soon as he hears that this is Jesus of Nazareth, and he starts crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What's everybody around him doing? They're trying to get him to keep quiet, right? That's what it says right there in verse 48. Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. And of course, that doesn't stop Bartimaeus. He keeps yelling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And I really want to focus in on that particular phrase because I think it's significant. Have mercy on me. He's not asking for what you would think he would ask for, right? Blind beggar on the side of the road. He's not saying, "Jesus, give me some money. You got any spare change?" He's not saying that. He's not saying, like the disciples themselves said to Jesus, "Hey, give me power, give me status." James and John asked Jesus if they could sit on his right and his left in his kingdom. He's not asking for that either. He's not even asking to receive his sight back. I mean, he does later on in the passage, but that's after Jesus kind of drags it out of him in verse 51. But this initial request is not that. And in a way, you could actually say what the blind beggar Bartimaeus is asking for is even greater than to receive his sight back. To have mercy on him as a sinner. To ask for that is pretty bold. It's way bigger than some undeserved mercy you might receive at Men's Warehouse. This blind beggar is asking for something that none of us have any business asking a holy, righteous God for. Mercy on us because of our sin. In Greek, "have mercy on me" is translated from the words eleison me. And you might remember, maybe recognize that first word, eleison. That's a word that comes up sometimes in church, usually in the context of Kyrie eleison, which means Lord, have mercy. Kyrie, Lord, eleison, have mercy. Or if you're an 80s music fan, you might recognize it from that Mr. Mister song. Kyrie eleison on the road that I must travel. Anybody? No? Okay, never mind. It's not karaoke night. It's okay. If you have a hymnal handy, would you please open it up to page 168? This is where the Kyrie is in our worship services. We've already done that in our service this morning. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. This is the part of the service on pages 168 and 169 where we are essentially taking the place of blind Bartimaeus. And we are crying out to the Lord to have mercy upon us. And the thing that's interesting about this is that the things that we're asking the Lord for in the Kyrie are just as bold and undeserved as Bartimaeus is being in our text. You really think about the kinds of things that we are praying to the Lord for and asking for in the Kyrie. For peace from above. For our salvation, for the peace of the whole world. Whoa, the peace of the whole world, the well-being of the church of God, for the unity of all. Or even like on page 169, help, save, comfort, defend us. And then you can see right there in that little clip art at the bottom of page 169, there it is, Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. So those are some pretty heavy-duty prayers right there. And yet, just like blind Bartimaeus, we have every reason to believe that our Lord not only hears those prayers, but who actually will grant the things for which we're asking. And it's not because we're standing there deserving any sort of special treatment whatsoever. But it's simply because the Holy Spirit has granted us faith to believe that Jesus is Kyrie, Lord. That he is the Son of David, just like Bartimaeus cried out. That in his lordship, Jesus does cover us with righteousness and holiness and with his precious blood, which he shed upon the cross of Calvary. We believe that Jesus will do this for us. When Bartimaeus receives his sight from the Lord, Jesus doesn't tell him that it's because he was so bold, because he was so persistent, that that's what brought him healing. He doesn't say this is God, you know, paying him back for all the lumps he's taken as a blind beggar over the years. But instead, he says, your faith. Your faith has made you well. And the same thing is true for you and for me on this very day. We continue to pray, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, because we know by faith that God already has had mercy on us, that he's washed us clean in the waters of holy baptism, that he's welcomed us into his kingdom. We continue to pray, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, because we know by faith that he will continue to strengthen us with the power of his word, with the power of the gospel. We continue to pray, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, because we know by faith, just like Bartimaeus knew by faith, that the one who we are asking is the one who actually has the power to do it, as he always has, as he always will. And so just to kind of wrap all this up and put a bow on it and bring it back to where we started. You know, when someone gives you some undeserved grace and blessing and mercy in your life, usually one of the natural reactions to that is you want to go and tell everybody, just like I just did by starting the sermon off with that story. You want to tell people. And how much more then are we willing to go and tell the world about the greatest mercy that our God has ever had upon us by sending his son Jesus to die and rise again, to take away our sin, to give us the hope of eternal life in heaven. Just like Bartimaeus, he received his sight, and the first thing he does is he starts following Jesus on the road. He becomes, in his person, as a blind man who now can see, a living example of God's great mercy. And the same thing is true for you. You, as you go out into the world, you are an ambassador for Christ, because every single place you go, we can see that the Lord has had mercy. Everywhere you go with your whole life, you are proclaiming that the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Thanks be to God who has mercy on us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our service now continues as we speak the words of our common Christian faith along with millions of Christians around the world. Today, we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed, which are printed for you on page 175. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers today, we do have a few updates for you. We have listed under hospitalized Stacy Barnett, but we did find out, thanks be to God, that she was able to go home. She is still recovering from a recent bout with COVID-19, so we'll continue to pray for her. We have upcoming surgery scheduled for John Seifert, who will be traveling to Springfield later today for some procedures that are needed to increase blood flow to his heart and his legs. And there's a big note about that in the bulletin if you're curious to read more about that. So we'll be lifting up John. Also, we're lifting up before the Lord Mike Bartlett. That is the brother-in-law of Angie Schnicker. Mike has been having heart trouble, and he's going to be needing surgery soon. That surgery is not scheduled yet. Finally, I wanted to update you on Steve Kasten. Last week, I mentioned that he had been undergoing some tests. He went through a stress test, found out that he's also having some heart trouble, and will most likely be having a heart cath procedure in the near future, so we'll continue to pray for Steve. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Hear our cries and be attentive to the voice of our pleas, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Send laborers into your harvest, Lord, and preachers to gather your elect from the farthest parts of the earth. Bless our congregation and its servants, our day school and its teachers. Sustain all pastors and missionaries to remain faithful in their callings. And we especially lift before you all of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy, strike down the proud, O Lord of hosts, and every hostile voice that would rebuke the voice of faith with its cries and prayers. Uphold the protection of our nation and its leaders in honest service for the good of the people, especially that the gospel may be preached and heard without hindrance. Guide and protect the members of this nation's military, including especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have appointed us as priests in your kingdom, and so we ask you to make every Christian household constant in prayer and good works. Bless those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Jamie, Karen, Marianne, Dennis, Jackson, and Willard. We also give you thanks and praise for the marriage of Jared and Angie Frazier, which took place yesterday afternoon. Lead them to grow in love for you and for each other each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your undeserved kindnesses and mercies, and we ask you to help us to remain bold in our faith, to ask for those things which we need and which are beneficial to us. We pray that if it be your will, you would continue to grant us a fruitful harvest, and that you would also provide favorable weather and safety for those who work in the fields. Help us all to be good stewards and to be generous with the gifts you have granted to us. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, save your people and watch over your holy Christian church. Give courage to the hearts of all who cry to you, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy, especially those who are on our congregation's prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Nina, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift Stacy before your throne as she continues to recover from COVID-19. We pray that you would restore her health. We lift before you those who are going to be having upcoming surgeries, especially John and Mike. And we lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns. Marvin, Glenn, Ted, Amy, Beulah, Steve, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Tracy, Marvin, Larry, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, and all those who are fighting cancer. We also lift before you all those who are serving in the medical community, that you would bless them and guide them, allow them to be your hands and feet and to bring healing to their patients. Give all those who suffer steadfast faith, grant them recovery, that they may follow you now and into everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will invite our ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Please stand. We join now together in singing our offertory, which is found on page 176. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is number 750, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee.
Thank you.
Good morning. Once again, it's wonderful to have you all here today, and thanks again to our children's choir for singing this morning. We really appreciate you guys. It sounded great. Just a few announcements, not too many new things, but I wanted to especially highlight tonight's pumpkin carving event. It's going to be a lot of fun, so we hope you all can come. That's going to be starting at 5:30 this evening in the Activity Center. We have plenty of pumpkins, thanks to the Rommelman Brothers Farms. We really appreciate you guys doing that for us. So you don't need to bring a pumpkin with you. We have some carving tools available. We have some decorating supplies, paint and stickers and things like that. So if you have some of your own carving supplies, feel free to bring them along. But we should have some that we can pass around and share. And we're also going to be having a potluck meal to go along with that. So bring some food that you can share with your neighbors as well. And it's going to be a really great night. We hope you can join us. Other than that, a couple other things to highlight. We have chime practice coming back tomorrow night at 6. And, of course, there's going to be women's Bible study on Wednesday. There's several school announcements in the bulletin that you can pay attention to. I wanted to highlight that the youth are looking forward to having a yard cleanup day. That's in your bulletin this morning. That will be on Saturday, November 6th, so a couple weeks from now. And it will be canceled if it happens to be raining that day. But we are in need of... We just need to know who is in need of yard cleanup. So if you have a situation where you could use some help from our youth cleaning up your yard, would you please call the office and we'll put you on the list, and we'll hopefully be able to take care of that for you. It has to be, it says, within 7 miles of Hoyleton as the crow flies. So I'll let you guys figure that out for yourself. Next Sunday is October 31st. Which is Reformation Day. It's kind of a rare opportunity for it to fall on a Sunday. And there is going to be, we will certainly celebrate the Reformation in the morning. There's going to be a joint Circuit 7 and Circuit 8 service. So all the Lutheran churches around here in Washington County and Clinton County, we're all going to be getting together and having a joint Reformation service, which will be hosted in New Minden at St. John's there. And the preacher for that service will be President Tim Schar. He's the president of the Southern Illinois District. The organist for the service will be Pastor Scott Shilby, who is the pastor at Messiah in Carlisle. So I just want to make sure that's on your radar and on your calendar. That'll be at 3 o'clock next Sunday in the afternoon. Any other announcements today? Okay, well, go and enjoy this wonderful day. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.